This is A Coastal Story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. There's a door on Dame Street in the heart of Dublin that you could walk past 1,000 times without ever really noticing. On the face of it, it's like any other door opening out onto one of the city's main thoroughfares, except for all that it's on one of the capital's busiest pavements, no one's ever actually seen that door open. If you do notice it, and look a bit closer, you'll see it occupies a space between two buildings that's pretty much just the width of the door. There's no window in it, or any windows on the three floors above. All there is a stone plaque of a three-masted ship in full sail, engraved with the date 1799. The ship on that plaque is believed to be the Ouzel Galley. Towards the end of James Joyce's Finnegan's Wake is, well, it's a place few people have ever been. So dense it makes Ulysses look like Dr. Seuss, it's a challenging read. Even those who try mostly abandon it long before the end, which means only the most dedicated Joyceans would get as far as the part that says, "Idle were it, repassing from the else ground to the elder disposition, to inquire whether I, dragged asunder, be the forced generation of group marriage, holocryptogram, of my Essenes, or carried a cloud from land of locust, in Ouzel Galley born, I, huddled till summon, be the mass product of teamwork," and so on for about another half a page before there's a full stop. Now in 1983, and Post, the Irish Post Office, issued a stamp displaying a picture of the Ouzel Galley Goblet, a wine glass engraved with a similar three-masted ship to the one over that door at the College Green end of Dame Street. So what was the Ouzel Galley? The ship, name-checked by Joyce, that appears on a stamp and sits over a mysterious door at the heart of Dublin City. One day in the spring of 1695, a Waterford man, Owen Massey, arrived on the quayside at Ringsend in the south of Dublin and stepped aboard the Ouzel Galley, the three-masted merchant ship of which he was in command. The hold was packed with Irish goods and produce, from grain to animal hides, all destined for the Levant. Massey was to take the Ouzel Galley south to the Mediterranean, to Smyrna, modern Izmir in Turkey, and return with a cargo of traded goods. It was a long voyage, but not a particularly arduous one. All being well, they'd be back in a few months, he told his wife. Massey was a respected skipper of an experienced group of sailors, so although there were a few tears at the quayside as the ship departed with its 37 crew and three officers, there was no greater sense of yearning absence than normal. Months passed. Then those months became a year, and there was no sign of the Ouzel Galley. Concern grew, imperceptibly at first, but then more openly. Masts would be glimpsed on the eastern horizon and hopes would rise, but when the ships drew nearer, it was never the Ouzel Galley, packed with mysterious wares from the Levant, and a crew armed with exotic stories. Hope began to fade. By the time 2 years had passed, the families had given up their menfolk to the sea. The Ouzel Galley was lost, somewhere out there beyond the horizon, most likely sunk in a storm. Although those 40 men left a large hole in the city's population of around 60,000, where everyone knew everyone else, Dublin life went on as normal. Bereaved women soldiered on. Younger children struggled to remember the sound of their fathers' voices, their presence fading to wispy shadows of memory. Some of the women remarried. Those who'd lost sweethearts moved on. 3 years after the Ouzel galley had sailed, a committee was appointed to untangle the complicated matter of insurance. The men were declared officially dead. The traders received their payouts from the underwriter. Another 2 years passed, and the 18th century dawned. One day, in its first autumn, the city was going about its business as usual when a ship sailed up the Liffey. It was such a common sight that nobody took much notice at first. But then, there was something familiar in the joyfully bewildered faces looking over the gunwales and hanging from the rigging. A cry went up on the quayside, just one woman's voice at first, but soon joined by others as the realisation spread. Heads turned, carts stopped in their tracks, faces appeared at windows. More than 5 years after it had departed, the Ouzel galley was back. Once the initial shock had died down a bit, Owen Massey sat before the ship's owners and told his story. They hadn't even reached the Straits of Gibraltar on their outward voyage, he said, when they were boarded by Algerian pirates. For the best part of 5 years, the Ouzel galley and its crew had practically been slaves, raiding merchant ships returning from the Caribbean or emerging from the Straits of Gibraltar loaded with cargo for Northern Europe. It was only when their pirate pimps celebrated a major captor a little too enthusiastically and fell into a drunken stupor that they were able to slip quietly away and bring the Ouzel galley back home, packed with a hold full of booty. This apparent miracle, a ghost ship and its crew made flesh again, caused the city's insurance underwriters a major headache. What to do with the goods in the hold? And what about those who'd been recompensed? It was an unprecedented problem that kept underwriters and lawyers alike busy for years. Eventually, there was an agreement that whatever money was left over once the cargo had been sold and those who needed to be compensated had been, the rest should go to decayed merchants. There was little attention paid to those assumed widows and sweethearts who had mourned their menfolk and in some cases remarried and even had children with their new partners. There must have been a few pretty awkward conversations in Dublin that autumn. In 1705, the arbitration panel morphed into the Ouzel Galley Society. It was a charitable institution, described in an early 19th century history of Dublin as holding 2 or 3 convivial meetings each year. Its membership was limited to 40, the number in the ship's crew, and elected its officers to ranks corresponding with those who'd sailed on the Ouzel galley. In the 1780s, the Ouzel Galley Society was partly absorbed by the new Dublin Chamber of Commerce, but it was revived as a separate entity and is still going today, presumably still enjoying its convivial gatherings. Naturally, there are doubts as to just how much of this story is actually true. No contemporary records survive regarding the Ouzel galley. Most agree that the bones of the story must be true, but some doubt the pirate stuff. It's possible the Ouzel galley sailed not for the Levant at all, but for the Caribbean, at a time when Irish ships were banned from trading there. It could be that the whole Barbary pirate thing was a cover story. 5 years is still a long time, though, even to get to the Caribbean and back. There is possibly one piece of evidence buried deep in Dublin slang. Children in the fair city are often referred to as chisellers. Apparently, this term originated in Ringsend, from where the ship sailed and where many of its crew would have lived. The modern term is an evolved version of ouzelers, applied to kids with complicated backgrounds, deriving from those children born to women who believed they were Ouzel galley widows. Over the years, that term grew into chisellers, a cross between children and ouzelers. A plausible derivation? Could be. Equally, as they say in Ireland, Isma an Scéalaithe an Aimsir. Time is a great storyteller. It's worth adding that in the middle of the 19th century, there was another Ouzel galley, a Dublin-owned cargo ship that sailed on the trade winds between Ireland and the Caribbean. In the spring of 1859, she foundered in a hurricane off Bermuda, a storm so severe that, according to newspaper reports, it killed the man at the wheel and broke the legs of two crew members. The captain was only saved from being washed overboard when he became entangled in some collapsed rigging. The ship was abandoned and the crew rescued by the Anne E. Hooper, a Liverpool trader. The Ouzel galley, the news reports were careful to point out, was heavily insured. As for that mysterious door, it's on the site of the original Dublin Commercial Building, opened in 1799, where the Ouzel Galley Society had its headquarters, a stone's throw from where the ship itself had sailed up the Liffey one autumn day at the dawn of a century. And that was a coastal story. I'm Charlie Connolly. If you're enjoying these stories, please do rate, review and recommend them wherever you can. You can find my book, Attentional Shipping, A Journey Around the Shipping Forecast, in outlets both reputable and otherwise, probably. And look out for my book about the English Channel coming this summer. It's called The Channel. We're on Facebook at Coastal Stories Podcast, and you can find me on Twitter at Charlie Connolly. The waves you can hear were recorded at low tide at Deal on the 6th of March 2020.